Welcome, BBS Radio people. Welcome to Winfrey's conference calls for Wednesday night. You got questions, we got answers. We're still greeting people as they call in on the telephone lines. And Terry is with us, and we're waiting for Wynn. You should be here shortly. So hang in there for a couple minutes and listen to me greet everybody and say hello.
Hello.
Hello. Should we all say hello to the BBS radio people together?
Hello, BBS.
Hi.
Hello, BBS. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city. Hello.
But only if you want to.
Yeah. Only if you want to.
As Heise would say.
Yeah. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city.
This is Marilyn.
Hello, Marilyn.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
This is Marilyn in Oxford, Michigan. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city.
Prudence in Candler, North Carolina. And Michelle.
Hello, Prudence. Welcome to the call. This is Marilyn in Oxford, Michigan.
And Michelle in Candler, North Carolina.
Welcome, Michelle. Thank you for calling and joining us.
Thank you.
If there's anyone that I missed, please state your name and your city. You can mute yourselves. Just star six. I can help you.
Sound like somebody dropped their salad bowl.
Yeah. That's right. Somebody's making dinner, and it sounds yummy.
You should smell it.
I know. I wish I had smell-o-vision. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city.
This is Suzanne in Columbus.
Hi, Suzanne. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, who's this?
This is Marilyn. I'm in Oxford, Michigan. I'm Marilyn Kowalski.
Oh, different, wow.
Yeah,
Kowalski.
Different Marilyn. You guys are all used to Marilyn Hausman. And no, this is Marilyn Kowalski.
Oh, okay. All right.
Sorry to disappoint you. See, Marilyn, you need to be a greeter, too. She's on the line. She's listening.
I had myself unmuted. I have noise in the background here. Okay.
I was saying you need to be a greeter. Everybody thinks I'm you.
Well, there are more Marilyns also.
Yeah. Is there how many other Marilyn volunteers does he have?
Three.
Three? Wow.
I think they're four.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Well, no wonder we're confusing everybody.
So if your name is Marilyn, you got a job.
Yeah, there you go. You know what? I have never in my lifetime met so many Marilyns in one place.
I guess we're all supposed to belong here.
I guess so. We were called.
That's right. We found our family.
Uh-huh.
There can't be
Marilyn.
Enough Marilyns.
I've been looking for one.
Telling Marilyn there's lots of Marilyns, but there's only one Cecil.
That's right.
Oh, right. I never heard of another Cecil Serpent.
Me either.
Not another Cecil Sea Serpent for sure, huh?
Right.
Really? There was a cartoon or was it a show with the Cecil Serpent?
I think it was a TV show.
Yeah.
It's kind of a everyday thing.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city.
Hi, it's Joni in St. Louis.
Welcome, Joni. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, Joni.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hey, Joni.
Hey, Ron.
This is Marilyn in Oxford, Michigan. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city.
Hi, Marilyn. It's Flynn.
Hello, Wynn.
Yay, Wynn's in here.
Welcome to the call, Wynn.
Am I clear? Is my voice clear?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yep, you sound great.
All right. Let me just mute everybody and we'll get started.
Wynn, you sound like you could move back away from your speaker a little bit, or your microphone.
Am I too loud?
I'm a little muffled.
Yeah, you're a little over-modulating.
You sound good here.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please state your name and your city.
I'm Janine from Salt Lake City.
Welcome, Janine. Thanks for
coming
and joining us.
Oh, I love it.
I looked up the word. What does Marilyn mean on the Google here? And it says, Marilyn, name meaning, you have psychic power. You can carry on for others with joy. You have a receptive nature and dot, dot, dot.
Ah, that is so true. Don't you think, Marilyn?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, how do I sound?
Good.
Sound fine.
Yeah, that's a little better.
A little better? Am I loud?
Yeah.
Am I loud? Okay.
Loud and clear.
What happened?
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
This is April 13th. 2016, Wynn and Jerry in Sedona, and everybody everywhere, and then we got a great comment from somebody just before the call. If you notice at the bottom of the email today, there was an invitation to join Message a Day, and if you haven't done that, I invite you to do so, because it's free. And
very insightful.
You get a message every day for about 6 months with little quotes from our sources. And I called it an experiment. And there's an introductory email that comes and says, try this out. Lots of people have shifted their energy just by reading these things every day. And
yeah.
So somebody said, thank you for sharing your grand experiment. It's working for me. They do help ease pain upon request. Getting to feel like a whale. Sending the essence up through my head, etc. You mentioned I do it. I love the process. Thank you. And so I just thought I'd read that. So in case some of you have not taking advantage of it, please do so, okay? And on that, let me see, I think we're recording.
Yeah.
My Alzheimer's here.
Yes, you are.
Okay. Thank you. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself and everyone on the line. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining sovereign integrity of our souls And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is from, we are a section of the Elohim and a section of the Ra group that have come together to connect and to give assistance in whatever way that we can for the highest good and in alignment with what you are intending also. We are not God, and we do not wish you to take any thing that we say just on the basis that we say it. It needs to make sense to you, be usable to you, and be of resonance with what you believe or see. And so we ask, do you have questions?
Yeah, first question is from Jim Playhead. Okay, and he's talking about channels, people who channel, who are sometimes referred to as an instrument for bringing to you information and inspiration. My interest deals with the varying capacity a particular instrument has to access content and then outwardly express it. Some instruments remain aware. Some go into trance. Some instruments experience an abstract thought and express it in their own words. Some bring true, specific, direct phraseology. I would like our sources to comment on why there exists such vast differences amongst those who channel. Are some of us here with a specific purpose, be an instrument? How would one know? Is there a pre-established higher source waiting to connect with a particular instrument? And Jim, let me just make some comments because I have been carefully observing this process for quite some time. And what I see is that some channels, sometimes I ask certain questions to Terry, and she can't access it unless she says, I have to go into a deeper trance. And it's kind of like if I ask specifics on something, like, how would I say it? Going into, like, you can say what Jim's name was. In a certain fast light. That's very specific. And even if she goes into trance, she usually doesn't get that specific. Some people, Edgar Casey, could do that. Going into trance allows the source to speak through you directly, use you as a mouthpiece, like a ventriloquist. And the danger of that is if you have a negative source should take over the line, you have no filtering, okay? In any case, let me turn it over to our sources and let them comment on your question. Thank you.
Thank you. We are only one source of a channel source, and there are ascended masters, and there are different sources of this incarnate entities, and they are in their own space and coming from their own particular orientation. Some channels have a particular orientation that they do well with bringing through. As a channel, it's more adept at tuning, which is very important, so that they do not bring through extraneous ideas of their own, but they truly bring through what the source that they are channeling is saying. They're able to do it better the more practice they have at tuning. Carla Rucker was very good at tuning to the source that she was channeling. Sometimes an instrument will be able to tune to one source, but then could become, particularly if negative influence were in the mix, could become detuned and be taken over by negative information or a negative source. If one is totally in trance, they do not have the safeguards up to be able to tell that they have been taken over by a negative source. However, if their tuning is very, very good at the start and maintains, negative sources will not come through. Some individuals are able to remain to some degree aware of the information being brought through and indeed are presented concepts from the source that they then can find the words for and express in the particular language they are speaking. We hope that that sheds a little bit of light on it. A source usually comes through an instrument where the orientation of the instrument has had some familiarity with the body of knowledge to do with the source, which gives the individual familiarity and knowledge of the frequency of the source. Some information that is brought through from sources that, whatever the source, if the source has a distortion, and even if the channel is truly bringing through the information that is given, the distortion will be in the channeling. Another source of distortion can be when the individual brings through ideas. For instance, if the instrument has a certain very strong belief, then as the body of information is given on that, the person's own beliefs tends to click into place and take over for that period of time that they're dealing with that body of data. We hope that helps.
Thank you. I wanted to point out that in the respect to tuning, that Carla Rucker said this, and of course, we experience it. One of the best ways to tune is to have a group energy, not just one person, but a group energy grounding the energy which holds the space to the source. So that way it becomes solid and much safer. We create a group energy on this line. All of you are helping to create that. Thank you. Any comments on that before I go on? Okay. question.
That is true. If the group is tuned in to the energy, they act as a support for the instrument.
Thank you. Okay. Next question is... Hang on. This is from Don Herman. Is it true that everything is really just frequency? If so, is karma just an unwanted frequency stuck in your personal energy? Thank you.
Everything does have energy, but it also has significance. It also has application in certain circumstances. It is also tied in with one's emotions, where one is reactive, or one is angry, or one is bored, or one is cheerful, or one is sad. So it is not just the cold energy. There is a significance that is attached to an energy, and the energy can be modified. It can, for instance, if you have, say, a prostitute that is putting out an energy, she might have the energy hooked with little hook beams, like a fish hook, that grab the individual she wishes to reel in. So one needs to be very discerning when it comes to energy, what type of a motivation, what type of an emotional connection, what is the significance, which can extend into all kinds of departments that the energy is moving into and connected with, because energy is connected with other energies. And so when you have an energy, what is it that you are tuning into? And what is the connection behind the energy? What groups are associated with that particular energy? Energy can bring in some unsuspecting consequences. One might be driving and scared of getting a ticket, and they put out that frequency in a vector radiating out from the car, and the police see that and say, oh, you know, there's somebody there that's thinking of getting a ticket. Let's take a look. So what energy is at the other end of what you are connected with?
Thank you. I think John wants this to be really simple. Oh, we just have to get rid of those frequencies, and I'll have no karma. The problem is that the way it works is that it's stuck in you. You're like radiating the energies. And it's, if it's karma, it's very not easy to say, I'm going to stop radiating these energies. Like as if you can do it in your mind. I don't think you can. The mind is a good first step, at least the first to recognize what's going on, but it's always deeper than a mental level. Okay, next question. From Rebecca Lawrence of Cottonwood. This is a really good question, Rebecca. How do I discern and decide when to interfere with an unjust situation or to simply not get involved because it may be my karma? or it may be not my karma, it may be karma.
Thank you. If your sense of justice indicates that there is interaction needed, then it does take discernment. Is it something, what is the degree of it? Is it something you absolutely refuse that is wrong and needs correcting and somebody is being a victim and you need, someone needs to save that person from this very unjust situation? Is it a matter of being in court and there is an unjust accusation? And then your response, your own intelligent response, will tell you what degree, what you can weigh it. What are the chances that you will be able to win or to enter a significant plea that would at least change some people's minds, or to stand up for your own integrity is very important in situations where there is some injustice going on. On the other hand, if it is something that you determine that it isn't that important, it involves a lesson that someone else needs to learn, it really doesn't stand a chance
in a situation, yes, where there is an injustice and you decide to walk away from it, could that not lead to guilt?
It definitely could. It could lead to guilt. It could lead to self-criticism that you one felt that they needed. It was very important to stand up, but for some reason they didn't. If justice is needed and one is in a location where they can provide it, then and make a difference, then it is something that all those issues weigh towards taking action.
Thank you. Question from Terry McMillan in Middletown, Delaware, near Philadelphia. Can you tell the true story about R.H. Blunt? Now, I would guess it's some kind of E.T. strain. Maybe you could share which one.
Thank you. When one goes back and looks in the ancestry of different mixtures of genetic lines, one sees RH blood in some of these lines. It is even possible to change the nature of one's blood for someone who is very advanced and has control over their own body systems. RH blood traces back to a particular type of entity, and when it moves forward into the current life, it may appear down the line in the genetic line and give the key that this dates back into that particular history, that particular type of entity that was very, very bright, agile, and would take a look at the colors of the blood, had a particular system that could chemically influence the combination of air taken into the system and regulate the color of the blood.
Thank you. Okay, next question. Julius from Fairfield, California. I've always felt different. I feel that I may be a wanderer. I would like to know if I belong to any of the sources, soul groups, or would appreciate any info on my origins. It would mean a great deal to me. Thank you, Julius.
Thank you. We see that you have made some jumps in where you were going or what you were doing, but you always followed your heart towards moving forward and investigation. And you have been different places and had different family groups. It is a part of investigation to see what it is like in a different family group. Some people believe that you can, if you reincarnated and you were a female, you would always be a female, but it is not true. You may be coming back as a female, or you might be coming back as a male. And in like, you might be coming back in a different race than you had been in. And to check it out and see what it's like and decide whether you wanted to be part of that or to not be part of that any longer and to move on. You are a seeker. And we see that you have been not only on this planet, but you have been from other planets. And this planet is a challenge. And sometimes one learns a lot from challenges and sticks around to be able to learn and to meet the challenge and to learn from it. You are definitely a wanderer, and you've asked if you're a part of any of the soul groups. We feel that you have been part of different soul groups at different times. And so you're very adaptable. And your closest soul group that we speak of here is the Ra group. However, there is a Eastern soul group that you were part of for a while. And it is like changing families. So we also ask you to see which frequencies you identify with Astralohim, or a higher vibration, very short frequency. The Ra group is a longer vibration based upon the fact that they have lived in the third dimension and have taken on some of the vibrations in their experiences and travels in the third dimension. You are not particularly belonging to one soul group as we see, but you are investigating more than one group, and you are finding friends in all the places where you are going and then moving to another place.
Thank you. This is from Kathy in Pruta, Colorado. Pruta. We feel we have a mischievous entity or entities living in our house. We have had many unexplained mishaps with water leaks and electrical problems. We can coexist with them, if not for the costly repairs and aggravation of anticipating the next problem. What can we do? Can you help us? Well, I would like to say, first thing, can you confirm that she has received this mischievous entity in her house?
We feel that this is based upon something that is underground, that some entities that perhaps died and were buried underground, and it's other times there was other geometric formations of the land under the house, and there were breaks in the rock where the water went through, and there were entities that came along those breaks and along the waterways, and they are trapped in a way, and they consider themselves part of the rocks, part of the waterways, and they're not really like human, but the energies, they do have a consciousness, and they do have a mischievous nature. We suggest like a clearing, not only of the house, but of the roots of underneath of the energies that are part of the consciousness, have taken on part of the consciousness of the rocks in an effort to have some sort of community. We have reached that energy by saying that to some degree. The energy has lacked community and has taken on the rocks as part of his home or family and is expressing mischievousness up from under the ground. And that's why it is to do with the water pipes and the electrical, because it is an electrical type being. And there is water down below, and it is investigating what it is like to run along the water pipes or want to run along the electrical pipes. It is experiencing electrical phenomena, and it is fascinated by the water pipes. And but really, in a way, this seeking a game, not sure where it's going or what it's doing, but is fascinated by the flow of water.
Go ahead.
What? No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, is this the kind of situation that Fred could help with?
Fred could take a look at this, yes. Fred could take a look at this also. So the self-willed, self-will within this entity, and is seeking power through this special area of electrical and water phenomena.
Okay, well, anyone that has problems like this might email me, and I'll send you Fred's contact information. He has worked with a lot of these situations, and people have come back and said he succeeded, and the problem fits itself. Okay,
yes.
Next question. It's from Hives, and he asks about duality. When was duality introduced in 3D on planet Earth? And what was
Could you repeat that? It is getting unclear. Could you repeat that?
When was duality introduced in 3D on planet Earth? And what was the reason?
Duality is a part and parcel of the third dimension. Will one exist tomorrow? Will one not exist tomorrow? Will the sun come up? Will the sun not come up? Will the plants grow? Will the plants not grow? Why did that plant die? I wanted it to live. It is part and parcel of life in the third density, and it is learning to live with that. As the third density became a creation of life and growth and flow, it became a place where duality was part and parcel of life, and one can get growth by the uncertainty of it all and get challenge and ability to stay alert and to get discernment.
Thank you. Question from, well, you know what, before we move on from Heise's question, I wanted to comment, or that's a question. I probably inspired Heise's question because I sent him an email with an interview with someone who was called Hidden Hand, who was saying that he was a representative of the negative, and that that he was involved with some of the dark plays on our planet. And he was indicating that at one point, the Ra group talks about this, there was no duality, and people were living in kind of a happy, blissful state, and no one grew. And so the Ra group had said somewhere in Carla's material that there was the decision made to create duality or to bring in more negative into this dimension so that it would be more difficult. And in doing so, it would speed up the process of the beings. They would have to rise above the polarization. Can you make any comment about that?
Please? Yes. Yes. By the nature of being in the density, there is automatic duality. Will one exist today? Will they exist tomorrow? Will they pass away? Will they get the food that they need? Would their life be easy or hard? When one, at first, everything still had duality, but things without an added impetus of negativity were easier to bring about the result that one wanted. But when negativity got tacked down, it increased the challenge and it increased the game. It increased the stakes and it involved the people more because they weren't so certain as to what the outcomes were going to be. So it did increase the motivation to win the game, to grow, to learn, to overcome. But just by virtue of being in the third density, there is the duality present. It wasn't that everything at the start was everything A-okay, because it depended upon the individuals and their expectations. And they may not have expected to have a calamity, which is one of the consequences or risks in living in the third density.
Thank you. Isabel DeSandro, I don't see her city, but see if you can tune into it. I'm ready for a big change in my life. I have
what
a
is her name?
Degree in Isabel DeSando.
Isabel
DeSando. I have a second degree in Reiki, and I'm contemplating it. I'm contemplating if I should move forward with this practice. Now, of course, Isabel, they can't make your decisions for you. They won't say yes or no, but they usually give a guideline for you for how to make a decision. So I'll return it over.
Thank you. The more familiar you are with what is in the second degree Reiki, the more you will know whether it is something for you or not. So, at any point, as long as you do not get exclusive about your choices, as you find out more, you will be able to tell more about whether it is for you or not. In fact, at this point, you could talk to some second-degree Reiki people. You could look up what you can about this and see if it leads you to want more.
Thank you. Next question. And this is from... Roma. We have a question about a book called The Key by Whitley Strieber. And
what is the name? The Key?
The Key. K-E-Y.
The Key.
Whitley.
Okay.
Whitley Strieber.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm always somewhat reluctant to ask questions that are so specific about a book. You can't expect the resources to have, they can feel the energy of it, but they don't have the book to read.
Thank you. We see that he is truly seeking and truly aiming to put his phenomena down that he sees to bring possibilities through his writing into the world.
Okay, now the second question. Let's see. Whitley met a mysterious man who appeared late at night at a hotel he was staying at. And in the book, this man, the man was relating to him things about soul and human development and the afterlife and the history of man and earth and other things. And the things in the book are in line with the raw material. My question is, who was the visitor?
It was an individual that had once been alive and learned a great deal and had then come back and met Whitley. And he had a great wealth of knowledge, and he recognized Whitley the openness to be able to be talked to and the potential for his knowledge being passed on.
Thank you. And finally, let me see. We have one more question. Asked from Rich Buckley. What is behind the whole project of the Living Tapestry at the Great Hall of Records? Okay, again, that's a difficult question because you're using terminology of Living Tapestry and the Great Hall of Records. I think you mean the Akashic Records. Okay. The hypotheticals has no, that's different.
Yes.
Okay. The hypothetical as to all... Yeah, go ahead.
The great tapestry, the weaving together of human history has been entered into the Hall of Records holographically into the fabric of the materials recording these historic events. The Hall of Records shimmers there, and is connected. The Hall of Records shimmers in information and is tied in with a physical Hall of Records in Egypt. It is knowledge beyond what is written, and it is holographically connected to what is written in the Hall of Records in Egypt.
So the Great Hall of Records is in Egypt, yes?
Yes. It is in the astral, but it is connected to physical records in stone in Egypt.
How was it decided that it would be in Egypt? Was that a decision, or was that part of just organic evolution?
the individuals in Egypt at the time wished to make a record to take down the information in the astral and to preserve it there. It is a grounding, physically a grounding within the area in Egypt, and laced together with the actual shimmering recordings of history of earlier time. Thank you.
Okay. He asked more, but I think you answered it. The guardian of the tapestry's approval became mind-boggling, including passing information back and forth in both directions across great leaps of local time. Would you tell us more about it, please, if we may hear it? Is there anything more to say for that?
That is an accurate description. And again, what is written solid in the rock is merely a tacking down of a knowledge that is hologramically recorded in the halls of history.
Great. Well, I thank you so much. Any closing comments for this session before we leave, but we do not leave?
It is a good connection. We are pleased and honored to be able to make this connection, and we treasure you and thank you for the opportunity, the sacred opportunity to connect.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, all of you, for holding the space and holding the frequency that allows this call to take place. Thank you, Marilyn Kowalski, for saying hello to everybody. And on that note, we're going to unmute everybody. Oh, thanks to BBS for keeping us on the air. We're going to unmute everybody, and we'll see you Sunday.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Wynn.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you, Wynn, Terry.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye,
everybody.
Terry and Wynn.
Love to everyone.
Love to everyone.
You did.
Thank you.
Love to all.
Thank you, Terry.